to Tuned To Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour's series, with continuing stories from Terry and the Pirates and yours truly, Johnny Deller, and Adventures by Morse next, with episode 4 of 10 of Carlton E. Morse's story, The City of the Dead. This released for syndication on January 29, 1944.
Adventures by Morse. Carlton E. Morse presents The City of the Dead, featuring Captain Friday.
If you like high adventure, come with me. If you like the stealth of intrigue, come with me. If you like blood and thunder, come with me.
First, a message from our sponsor. Eight o'clock on Sunday morning, the second day in the City of the Dead. 8 o'clock in the morning, after a night of unearthly events and sudden death. And it all seems to be centered about the caretaker's cottage at the gate of the old abandoned cemetery. Those present include the caretaker himself, better known as Mayor Joshua Friday, Dr. Tooner, retired, all his patients are laid away in the City of the Dead, Captain Friday, son of the mayor, and private investigator from San Francisco, who has come down to the City of the Dead to help his father fight grave robbers. The only persons caught in the net so far are Jimmy Parker, a nice-looking college boy, and his girlfriend, Phyllis Carroll. At 2 o'clock this fog-choked winter morning, Captain Friday was roused from sleep to find a phantom-like white-robed figure, its face covered with long, white, flowing hair, patrolling about the caretaker's cottage.
Yes, I awakened Jimmy Parker, and the two of us slipped out of the house and around the corner just in time to see the phantom creature leap on the figure of a man who at the moment was attempting to break into the cottage. The man died instantly under the gleaming knife in the creature's clawed hand. Before Parker or I could stop it, the thing had gone.
Yeah, Captain Friday and I rushed to the scene, but the housebreaker was dead. Captain Friday sent me back into the house for Dr. Tooner. I wasn't gone more than a couple of minutes, but when we got back, not only was the murdered man gone, but Captain Friday was lying on the ground, unconscious. And a peculiar thing. All the time this was happening, Mayor Friday's been missing from the cottage. But now it's 8 o'clock the next morning, and Phyllis is telling what she saw.
I tell you, I saw it all from my window.
You were awake, Miss Carroll?
The scream of that man outside my window awakened me.
You mean the man that was murdered?
Yes. Who was he, Captain Friday?
I don't know. He was trying to break into Parker's room when the family ghost jumped him.
It sprang on his back like an animal and was gone quicker than a flash.
Stabbed him in the back. He was dead when I reached him.
That's what I heard. I jumped out of bed and I looked out through the bars of my window. You were just bending over the body, Captain Friday.
Well?
I didn't know what had happened. It was too dark to tell who you were. Then all at once I saw two shadows creeping up on you from behind.
Two?
Yes, there were two. Suddenly I heard myself scream.
I heard you. That's what brought me to my feet just in time to get that crack on the side of the head.
That's funny. Dr. Tooner and I didn't hear a scream, did we, Doctor? But where did Dr. Tooner go?
Said he was going to walk around while he smoked his after-breakfast cigar.
Well, anyway, we didn't hear Phyllis scream.
Well, I did. I must have frightened the men. They didn't wait to examine Captain Friday. They just grabbed the body of the murdered man and ran.
Did you see the face of either of my attackers, Miss Carroll?
No, I was too frightened to notice.
Captain Friday, did you find out where the mayor was all this time last night?
What difference does it make, Parker?
What? Well, nothing, only Dr. Tooner thought it rather peculiar.
Did, huh? Well, there seem to be a lot of peculiar things going on around here.
Do you think that ghoulish killer we saw last night was a man in disguise?
At least it was human.
You didn't really think anything could actually look like that, do you?
Oh, Jimmy, let's not keep still any longer. I'd rather go to jail right now than spend another night here.
Phyllis, keep still.
If you're part of this gang of cutthroats...
Oh, we're not. We're not.
Look here, Captain Friday. If we tell you everything, will you let us go?
I can't promise that.
Well, will you take us away from the City of the Dead?
You indicated last night that the presence of you and Miss Carroll was aggravating the situation. That it was due to your being in the City of the Dead that all these murders are taking place.
No, no.
Oh, we're only part of the cause.
I see. Well, you see how it is. If I let you two slip through my fingers, my only tangible clue to the whole business would be gone. No, you've got to stay here.
You can't keep us here. We'll be killed. You saw what happened last night. That fella cut through the bars of my window. They'll try again, and next time they'll get me. I know they will.
You needn't worry about that. I'll fix the windows so they'll be murder-proof. Now, you're going to tell him what it's all about?
Oh, Jimmy, let's tell him. Please, Jimmy. We can't be any worse off than we are now.
Well, then I'll tell you. I'm going with Dr. Tuner and the mayor over to Lammy Fink's cabin this morning. After that, we're going down to the old church. I'll lock you two up together and you can thrash the thing out. But mind you, I expect an explanation tonight.
Oh, yes, but put us together. I couldn't bear to be alone in this horrible place again.
You understand, don't you, Parker?
I'm not promising anything.
So much the worse for you if you don't come through.
Oh, Captain! Captain Friday!
Oh, now what's up?
Hey, Captain Friday! No, I didn't think it. You suppose this happened?
Find another corpse, Dr. Tuner?
No, I didn't. But that grave we opened last night has all been filled up and the sod put back on it. Don't look as though it had ever been touched.
Filled up, huh? Now, there's an idea. Graves automatically opened and closed while you wait.
I tell you, Captain, this is no laughing matter. Something bigger than the mayor and I ever figured on has broken loose. Wait, where is the mayor, anyhow?
Catching up on the sleep he lost last night.
Where was the mayor last night, Captain?
Don't you know?
I swear I don't.
You were supposed to be sleeping with him. If you don't know, how should I?
I didn't even know he'd left the bed until Parker came in and woke me up. Well, I swear I didn't. You don't think old Doc Tuner and your own dad would hold out on you, do you, boy?
Something's funny somewhere. Now I want you and Dad to go over to Lammy Fink's place with me.
I don't see what good that'll do.
After that, we'll run down to the old church ruins and see if we can find out who took a shot at Dad night before last.
Yeah, I've told you all I know.
Maybe.
Well, you don't suppose we'd have brought you down here in the first place if we'd had anything to hold back, do you?
I'm not supposing anything. I'm putting facts together. Doc, go right out the mayor and we'll be starting. How far is Lammy Fink's house from the City of the Dead, Mayor?
Just a hop and a jump. But it ain't a house, son. Just a shack. Look here. You can see it yonder among the trees. Built it himself at odd times.
A gloomy place for a house. Looks more like a hunted animal's hole.
Yeah, he acts like a hunted animal most of the time, don't he, Mayor?
Yeah. He's a little off, all right.
I'd rather sleep in the City of the Dead than down in this hovel.
Not Lammy. He's graveyard shy after dark.
Well, this is it. Lammy Fink's residence. One room, one door, and no window.
And a cellar.
Cellar? Well, I didn't know about that. Never even thought of a cellar when I was over the other day.
Well, then that's the first place we'll look. Go ahead, Dad. You know the way. Lean on.
Well, there's no need to lead. This here path leads around the house to cellar steps.
All right, keep going. Here's the steps. Seem to go down under the house. I'll lead off with my flashlight. When I get to the bottom of the cellar steps, one of you follow, then the other. And take it easy. Those steps don't look any too solid.
They ain't.
Looks dark and murky down there. There I go.
Watch out you don't break your neck.
Well, these steps won't hold much weight.
Hey, Captain! Captain!
What a rat trap this turned out to be.
Son, are you hurt?
No. Hello down there. Captain, are you still alive?
Yes, of course I am. I've lost my flashlight and it's blacker than an old maid's future down here.
Light a match.
I'll give a man a chance to pull himself together, Doc. Still got two or three steps around my neck.
Can we help?
As soon as I unscramble myself. Hey, what's that? Hey, Doc Tuner, Mayor. I'm holed up down here with a body.
Who is it, Captain?
How do I know? We just met here in the dark.
Well, why don't you light a match and find out? We can't get down to the cellar without a rope now that the stairs are busted. How'd you happen to find it?
It just reached out and lay hold of me.
Jiminy crickets.
There. I'm on my feet again. Now for a light. Well, I'll... Hey, there are three. Doc, Mayor. There are three bodies down here in this cellar.
Watch that.
What did he say?
Did you hear me? There are three bodies down here. Ladder will hold any of us. Now, Dr. Tuner, I want you and Dad to come on down into the cellar with me and examine those bodies. One of them is Lammy Fink, all right enough. One of them is the strangled fellow we dug up, and the other is the man who was stabbed to death last night.
Well, if you know so much about him, why should we go down and look at him?
I want to see if you know either of the unidentified bodies.
I'd bet money I don't, but come along, son.
What makes you think you don't, Mayor?
Trying to get something on your father, boy.
Never mind, come along. Careful on the ladder. There you are. Now, over this way. Look out for those boxes. All right, I'll hold the torch for you. There they are. Three bodies laid out side by side.
Yes. Says Lammy. Poor old fella. How do you suppose he died, son?
I can't find a mark on him anywhere, Dad. Look at that look of terror on his face.
You mean he was scared to death?
Take a look for yourself. How long's Lammy been dead, Doctor?
Well, at least 36 hours.
You certain of that?
Well, that's fairly accurate.
Then Lammy Fink couldn't possibly have filled up the grave we opened last night.
He could not.
And who did do it? Dad, you said that you and Lammy were the only ones capable of doing an expert job of replacing turf on a grave.
Yeah, I said it all right.
Well, Dad?
Must have been wrong.
You mean there's someone else around the City of the Dead who's capable of such work?
Looks like it, don't it?
Well, never mind. Mayor, did you or Dr. Tooner ever see either of these other two bodies before? I mean, while they were alive?
Not me, Captain.
I don't know nothing about them, boy.
And that's darn funny. I've been through their clothes. Not a thing to identify them. Not... Listen.
Footsteps. There's someone in the shack overhead.
Shh. Just a moment.
Who's that, you suppose?
There's somebody up there, all right. Come on. We'll go up after him. Take it easy. We don't want to frighten him off. Up you go, Doc. You next, Dan.
Yeah.
Come on up, Captain. Everything's clear.
Yep. There. Here, I'll pull the ladder up, and then no one's likely to bother the bodies while we're away.
Captain, I smell smoke.
That's it, smoke. I knew I smelled something.
Look, look, the cabin's on fire. Quick, we gotta stop it. Come on around the house, quick. Get water from the creek. Look, look, look there. Holy mackerel, what a blaze.
Hey, somebody set that fire. The house has been saturated with oil. Look at that black smoke.
But where's the fellow we heard walking around?
He's probably a mile away by this time.
Of all the cockeyed, lunk-headed fools. Now we've lost those bodies.
But couldn't we still get him out?
That cellar was a furnace 30 seconds after that fire was set. There goes that can of kerosene I saw in the cellar. That ends that.
But why in tarnation did anyone want to burn down Lammy's shack?
Ask me a hard one, Doc. Somebody doesn't want us to know who's being murdered.
Dead men can't talk, especially after they've been cremated. But there is still the contents of Ernie Morton's grave and old Clawfoot down in the abandoned church. But more of that in a moment.
We've been dawdling, Captain Friday. It's almost 1 o'clock already, and we promised the mayor we'd meet him at the cottage at 2.
Well, there's the old church just ahead.
Yeah, gloomy as ever.
You know, Doctor, this place has always given me the creeps. Even when I was a kid. The mayor never brought me here unless it was to arrange for a funeral.
Well, that's about all it was ever used for, as far as back as I can remember. Funerals and now and again a country wedding.
This is the first time I've been near the place since it was abandoned. But I remember the day they found the old bell ringer hanging by the neck in the study.
Well, I always did think the place was infested with...
With what?
With something ghoulish.
That's a nice thought.
And our visit night before last only went to confirm my opinion.
You mean the claw-footed man?
Oh, he was only the climax of the whole business. I tell you, the place absolutely reeks of something unhealthy.
Well, that's probably the bats.
Plenty of them here.
Well, shall we go in? From the slant of that roof, I'd say the whole place would be tumbling in another year.
Careful. The mayor went through the floor the other night.
Gloomy as the inside of a grave in here.
There. Don't you feel it?
Feel what, Doc?
The moment I stepped in here out of the sunshine, I felt something come over me like a slimy, wet cloak. Don't you get it, Captain?
You give yourself the creeps if you keep that up. All I get is an unpleasant smell of mustiness and decay. The place is rotten to the foundation.
Yeah, there's something more than a physical rottenness here, Captain. I smell something else.
Yeah?
I tell you, I do.
Well, shall we go back and have a look at the old study? That's where the mayor was shot, wasn't it?
That's right. That's where we ran into the claw-footed man or beast or whatever he is.
Did you leave the door shut when you carried the mayor out the other night?
I did not. I was too scared. I just picked up the mayor and dashed through. The door was still open.
Well, it's shut now.
Hey, by jingo, that's right. Do you suppose that thing's in there now?
I got my gun handy to pot him if he is.
You better not stand in front of the door. You know what happened to me last night.
You stand at the side of the door. I'm going to block the way.
Don't be a fool, son. You're liable to get hurt.
Not while I've got this little plaything in my hand.
Yeah, I warned you.
You ready?
Go on, open the door and get it over with. Captain, are you hurt?
What in the Sam Hill kind of a thing is that? I'm a bald-headed liar if that jack-in-the-box didn't kick me in the face.
Are you hurt, Captain? Are you all right? Here, let me help you up.
Of course I'm all right. Why shouldn't I be all right?
That was a nasty fall.
Fall? That claw-footed old boy with his white beard knocked me down and walked the full length of me. Look at me. His dusty footprints all over my front. Oh. Did I say I was going to block his path?
I got one good look at him, an ugly critter. Flowing white hair, a face that looked like a death mask.
I've seen him before. He's the chap that murdered the housebreaker last night. I wonder who he thinks he is in those long white robes.
He's crazy as a gooey duck. Say, we'll need some kind of a light in this study.
Oh, I still got my flashlight.
Yeah, I'll turn her on.
Yeah. How's that?
Good. Yep. Great jumping Jehoshaphat. Captain, look there on the floor behind you.
Skeleton.
Human bones. All laid out in order.
Laid out is right. Looks like old Clawfoot was in here reconstructing a skeleton.
Where do you think they came from?
The bones?
Hmm.
Probably out of one of the graves in the City of the Dead. Hmm. Nice person, old Clawfoot. I don't care for the company he keeps.
He's crazier than I thought. Imagine a guy shutting himself up in a dark room to play with a human skeleton.
Yeah, looks like we're going to have to do some close inspection on the mayor's graves out yonder. This seems to indicate that grave robbing has sort of become a practice down here.
I told you something unhealthy was going on in this place.
Yeah. Well, old Clawfoot never lacked for company. Whenever he got lonesome or downhearted, he just up and digs himself a skeleton to amuse him.
Here, Captain, where do you suppose this old fool lives?
Offhand, I'd say he'd been making this his headquarters.
There's no sign of a place to sleep here, and there's no food.
Well, that's something I'll have to look into. Now, Doc, where's this bell rope the mayor was pulling on the night he was shot?
Right there, Rick. Oh, it's gone.
Gone? Where was it?
Well, it hung right down there where you're standing.
Mm-hmm. Look at the ceiling. No hole in the ceiling for it to come through.
Well, there was a rope. Much more, he just pulled it and he was shot.
And you're certain the door was shut at the time?
It certainly was. Anyway, the shot came from across the room.
Mm. No window. Are you certain there was no one else in the room with you, too?
Well, of course there wasn't.
Where'd the shot come from, then?
The same place the bell rope's gone to. What in tucket does he do that for, going around making noises like a sick cat?
Oh, we'd seen the last of him today. Should we try to grab him?
Don't you think we'd better finish looking over these ruins?
What more is there to see?
Well, you haven't been up in the belfry yet.
Well, climb that rotten ladder? Not me, Doc.
Well, the mayor and I did it, and in the dark, too.
Well, that was your own funeral. You can see with half an eye that you two are the only ones who've been up there in the last 10 years. Look at the dust and dirt and the cobwebs. Come on, we spent an hour in here. That's enough. I want to get my hands on that fella. Come on, it's 1 o'clock. We told the mayor we'd be back by 2.
All right, anything's better in this place.
Well, come on out in the sunshine and get it out of your system. Well, where is our sunshine?
Fog, if that ain't the luck. First afternoon fog we've had this season.
That puts an end to hunting old Clawfoot.
Yeah, miserable stuff, fog. Gets in your nostrils, wets your clothes, hides murders.
Come on out of it, Doc. You'll feel better when you had your lunch. Let's go back to the cottage.
You're going to leave that skeleton in there?
Why, yes. You don't want to pack it around with us, do you?
Hey, young jackass.
It's as well off there as anywhere until we can find the grave it was taken from. Perhaps that's old Ernie Morton's skeleton. We'll dig in his grave this afternoon.
There you are. Oh, thank goodness you've come at last. Captain, Come in the house, quick. Come in here.
What is it, Dan?
Mayor, you're as white as a ghost.
Well, if I'd have had a gun handy, I'd have shot that fellow where he stood.
Shot who? What are you talking about?
Come on in. Hurry up. You too, Doc. You'll have to tend to the girl.
Girl? You mean Miss Carroll?
Here, shut the door, Doc. That Parker fella stabbed the girl. He killed her, too, if I hadn't arrived just when I did.
Stabbed Phyllis Carroll?
So he did.
Wait a minute, Dan. Did you see him stab her?
Just as I come in the house, I heard her scream. I rushed in and unlocked the door. And there she was, lying on her face on the floor. Parker was standing over with this bloody knife in his hand.
Where is the girl?
In her room. Go on in and see what you can do for her, Doc. She's unconscious.
Go ahead, Doc. Tell me how she is as soon as you can.
All right.
Now then, Dad, where's Parker?
He's locked in this closet. The bars on the window to his room's cut. Yeah, I wasn't taking any chance of losing him.
I'll let him out. Let's see what he has to say.
Parker said he didn't do it.
Catch him!
What in blazes? Is he dead?
Dad, you've smothered him in that closet. Get me some water. Hi, Doc, come here.
What's the matter?
Get a move on.
Oh, what's the matter? Hello. What's happened to Parker?
Smothered in that little closet. Oh, his heart's still going.
Oh. Yeah, he's going to be all right. Just a faint. Mayor, throw a little water in his face. There he comes. Here you are, boy. Drink a little of this water. He's going to be fit in a jiffy. Girl's not in any danger either. Flesh wound and a little blood, that's all.
Air. Let me out of here. Give me air.
He's all right now. I'll go back to the girl. She'll be around in a few minutes, too.
Air. Well, where am I?
You're all right now, Parker. Here, can you sit up? Give me a hand, Mayor. Yes. We'll get him in that chair.
All right. There.
Yeah, how's that?
Oh, rotten. What'd you want to do, smother me?
Well, you had it coming. What'd you mean, stabbing a girl?
I didn't. I told you that before.
I saw you.
You saw me stab Phyllis?
I saw you with a bloody knife in your hands, bending over. You'd have finished her off if I hadn't rushed into the room.
You old fool.
That talk won't do you any good, Parker. Now, what's your version of this affair?
Well, Phyllis and I had been talking for about an hour.
Talking about what?
Whether we should tell you all we know.
Did you decide to talk?
No.
Did you quarrel?
No. She turned her back on me and called me pig-headed.
She was insistent on talking and you refused, huh?
Yes.
You know that what she could tell might get you in serious trouble, is that right?
I suppose so.
So you decided to stab her to death to prevent her talking?
No. No, it isn't so.
Not so. And what did happen?
You won't believe me.
You bet I won't.
Hold it, will you, Dan?
Well...
Go on, Parker.
Well, when she turned her back on me, I walked away. Went over to the dresser and put out my cigarette in the ashtray.
Your back was to her?
Yes. Suddenly she screamed. I turned just in time to see her fall with a knife in her back.
Likely story.
I told you you wouldn't believe me.
Go on. I haven't said I didn't believe you, Parker. Then what happened?
I was so confused, I don't hardly know what I did. I guess I dashed over to Phyllis and bent over her. I don't remember pulling the knife out of her back, but I suppose I did. Because I know I had it in my hand, wondering where it came from, when Mayor Friday rushed in and grabbed it away from me.
Wondered where it came from?
Well, I didn't have any knife. How could I have done it?
The knife might have been in the room. You recognize it, Dan?
No. Parker could have smuggled it in with him. He's had every opportunity.
Well, I didn't.
How is the girl standing?
Facing the door.
That would have put her back to the window, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And if you were at the bureau, you couldn't have seen the window, I don't suppose.
No.
With the shade and window raised?
Well, the shade was. I don't know about the window.
Hey, Doc.
Huh?
Is the window up in there?
Yeah. They're up.
Well, there's a possible out for you, Parker. A good knife thrower could have sent a knife through the bars of the window without any trouble.
You think that's what happened?
I'm not thinking anything. Merely say it's a possibility.
Well, I didn't do it. Think I'd hurt the girl I'm engaged to?
People will do strange things to save their own skins. So you're engaged to Miss Carroll?
Well, practically.
What does that mean?
Well, we've kind of got an understanding.
You asked her to marry you?
No. How does
In other words, you said that about the engagement because you thought it would be a point in your favor. Look, Parker, you better stick to facts or you're going to get yourself in one fine mess.
Well, I intend to ask her.
I don't know whether you do or not.
Hi, Captain. Come in here. The girl's coming, too. Come in and give me a hand.
Come on, Parker.
Come on in here, Captain. Help me with her. I've got her all bandaged.
Oh, Oh.
Ain't you ashamed of yourself, Parker?
You let me alone.
Keep still, both of you.
There. You mustn't cry. Just lie perfectly still.
Oh, Phyllis, are you all right?
Jimmy.
Yes, Phyllis, I'm here.
Oh, Jimmy, why did you stab me? Why did you do it?
In the midst of the desperate happenings in the city of the dead, has Jimmy Parker turned on his own companion, Phyllis Carroll? And what about the phantom claw-footed killer and the desecrated graves? Who is disturbing the dead? And what do they expect to find, save moldering bones? Listen next week to the fifth episode of Carlton E. Morse's City of the Dead, entitled The Skeleton Walks In.
Adventures by Morse, on Tuned To Yesterday, a syndicated recording from January 29th, 1944. This is an hour of continuing stories on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now a show popular among the junior set, it's Terry and the Pirates, with show number 38, picking up on the story from the week of November 26th, 1941, from WGN Chicago.
For a limited time only, you can get a Terry scope for just 10 cents and two Libby's labels. Sounds like a bargain, doesn't it? And believe me, it is. So get your two Libby's labels right away. One from Libby's tomato juice and one from Libby's pineapple juice. Print your full name, age, and address on the back of one, and then mail them along with a dime to Terry in care of Libby's, Chicago, Illinois. It's an easy address to remember. Just Terry in care of Libby's, Chicago, Illinois. Libby's is spelled L-I-B-B-Y-S. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if those labels you need were in your house already. You've probably asked your mother to get the delicious Libby's tomato juice and Hawaiian pineapple juice that we've told you about on this program. And she may very well have some in the pantry. So go look right after the show, and if the cans of juices aren't there, see if you can't run out and buy some. And send for your Terry scope at once. Mail your labels and dime with your full name and address to Terry, care of Libby's, Chicago, Illinois. And now, Terry and the Pirates. While Burma holds General Chang at bay in the hotel room, let's join Terry and Pat and Connie. They are headed toward the Chungking Airport. Beside Terry is the precious radio, the amazing new portable transmitter which has caused so much trouble. Terry clutches his homemade Terryscope in one hand as he says,
"Golly, Pat, I wish this Terryscope could see 3 miles ahead."
"Well, you can signal 3 miles ahead if you could flash a light in through the mirror."
"I mean, I wish I knew what was going on in Chungking, and if April's all right in Burma." "Yeah, I'm Dude."
"Well, we'll be at the airport in a few minutes. If Dude's plane is there, then we'll find him."
"Wish we could hide this radio gadget in some safe place. Like carrying dynamite around to have it with me."
"Yeah, I know. Well, we'll get to Hennick. He'll take us to the Army headquarters. I want to see General Chang."
"Who's General Chang?"
"Well, he's the fellow who knows Dude and wants to buy the radio invention."
"There. That must be the airport, Pat."
"Yeah, that's it. I'm glad to get that Chinese mountain and Utong behind me. Chungking is a paradise beside Utong."
"Well, I hope Dude's here. And the girls are safe."
"They may not even recognize us, Terry. Now, take a good look at me. How do I look?"
"You look like you've been sleeping in a ditch. You haven't shaved, and you have a black eye from that fight with Keel."
"And I feel just like I look. With a shave and a bath, and 40 hours of sleep will fix all that. You could do a little soap and water yourself. And as for Connie, say, is he still in the back seat?"
"Hmm?" "Yeah, Connie's a mess, too. But he's already catching up on his sleep."
"Well, there's the gates leading to the airfield."
"Say, Pat, look, that fellow coming out. He's running like a calf in a prairie fire."
"It's Dude Hennick. What's he running for?"
"Hiya, Dude."
"He can't hear you. Honk the horn."
"I'll swing over and get as close to him as I can." "Headed for him. We have to run him down."
"Hiya, Dudey. Where's the fire?"
fire. You get pinched for speed.
Yeah, some of your drivers ought to get a good socket.
Well, as I live and breathe, it's Pat and Terry.
Yeah, and Connie. How are you, dude?
Oh, bless Beth. Where'd you gents come from? Utong? Where'd you get the snort wagon?
That's a long story. I'll tell you about my next birthday party.
Well, we got the radio transmitter, dude. Got it right here with... Yeah, and hey, do you want to see a thing I built called the Terryscope? It's a... Oh, yeah, you saw it back in Utong when we were locked in.
Later. Just now, I'm on my way to interview some trouble.
What's up?
I don't know exactly. I called the hotel room where Burma and April are staying. Burma gave me a crazy line of talk, and from what I can make out, she wants me to act like a Marine and get to the room, but quick.
Why, what could the trouble be? Couldn't be over the invention. We got that right here in the car.
Where's the hotel, dude?
Just down the road, a quarter of a mile. Small place, about six stories, maybe less. Come on, park this gas buggy over there by the airport fence, and let's go to the hotel.
Look, hop out, Terry.
Yeah, okay.
I'll run it over there. I'll leave Connie to watch the car. Be right with you.
There's trouble, huh, dude?
Yeah, it wasn't anything Burma said, but I always call her room every hour or so. Burma used to say that if she ever answered the phone and didn't make sense, then that was my cue that something was wrong and to come a-running.
Carly, what'll I do with this little box? It caused plenty of trouble, and here I am lugging it around under my arm like it was a loaf of bread.
Yeah, we ought to get that to the Chinese Army headquarters as soon as... Yeah, I'd like General Chang to see it.
Hey, where do we see Chang?
Well, I'll have to fly you and Pat there. No place for April and Burma, though. They can stay here in Chongqing.
Well, gents, let's go.
Say, I was just saying, Pat, we ought to get this transmitter out of our hands in a hurry. Now that we're clear of the Dragon Lady, let's get to General Chang.
Right you are. As soon as we visit the girls and find out what's been...
I can't imagine what trouble they could be in.
Hey, what kind of a hotel is it, dude?
The best in Chongqing at the moment, which is the worst. This city isn't as up-to-date as Chicago or Kansas City.
Well, I was just wondering... There's no use advertising our arrival here. I mean, let's not walk into the hotel lobby with a band and colors flying.
Best you two gents would attract attention anywhere. Look like a couple of Robinson Crusoes. Terry isn't so bad. He hasn't any whiskers. But, Pat, you look like the hermit of the mountains.
Yeah, I know. That's why I say maybe Terry and I ought to stay in the background till you find out what goes on up in the room.
Listen, the Dragon Lady has pals in this town, and I'm not taking any chances. There's a back alley entrance to the hotel. I made sure of that.
Uh-huh.
And a half-hearted fire escape that leads to the roof. Now, here's what we'll do, Pat. You wait downstairs with the invention, and Terry and I will go up the fire escape.
I think that's the best plan, dude.
Hey, this is sure a long climb.
Yeah. What floor is their room on, dude?
It's top floor. Mine's just across the hall.
Well, I... Got my Terryscope with me.
Good. It'll come in handy.
How can you tell which room is which?
As soon as we get up this ladder on the roof, I'll... Make it all right?
Yeah. We should have stopped to see if anybody was in the hall on the top floor. Somebody outside the girl's room.
I took care of that little detail. There were two likely-looking lads in uniform loafing near the front stairs.
Well, say now, what do you suppose...
I know as much as you do, Terry. Come along, this way. Watch your step. Now then, it's the window just below us. I lined it up with that flagpole across the way.
Oh, it's going to be very easy to bend over and look down into the room.
Yeah? What about your telescope?
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Now look, all you have to do...
I know. I used it before. If you can look up over something with it, you ought to be able to look down under, too.
Sure. That's what I did when I looked through the hole in the floor back there in Utong.
Yeah, never mind the past. Let's worry about the future. Now then... You're lighter than I am. You slide out close to the edge and start looking through the mirrors. I'll sit here and hold your feet.
All set? Yeah, sure.
Okay, take a look. I got your feet tight. You see anything?
Wait a second. Gotta get this thing adjusted. Yeah. I can see in the window now. I can see April and Burma. Burma's got a gun. She's sitting there pointing it at somebody. It's a man in a soldier's uniform, dude.
Soldier? I don't get it. Better let me take a look, Terry.
Okay. The man looks like an officer or something, but why is she holding a gun on him?
Why would an officer visit Burma and April? Hey, you think you can hold me? You can sit on my feet or my legs, and I can bend down and get a good look at what this Terry's got.
Well, I'll try.
Look, don't just try. Best, you let me slip. It's six floors down to that street.
Okay, dude. I can hold you.
It's an officer, all right. Chinese Army. General's uniform, I'd say, but... Hey, I never saw him before.
Hey, maybe the fellow wants to make a deal with April. You know, for the invention.
Pull me up, Terry.
Hey, I know most of the big boys in the Army, but I've never seen that chap before. Say, do you suppose that fellow in there with Burma and April is one of the Dragon Lady's men?
Well, if he is, then Burma's suspicious. Or else why would she be holding a gun on him?
Yeah, I've seen enough with this telescope. Come on, I know what we'll do.
What, break the door down to the girl's room?
No. We'll talk to Burma on the phone again. We'll find a vacant room and give her a ring. That's the phone. Now then, we'll find out several things. No reason why Burma can't tell us just what. Hello, operator. Yeah, will you please bring room 611? No. 11 like in 12, only 11, yeah. You know, Terry, there's something funny about this business.
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking, dude. Oh, is the operator ringing?
Yeah, but... Yeah, that's funny.
No answer?
It's the right room number. Why, we just looked through the window of that room not more than 5 minutes ago from the roof.
And now there's no answer. Come on, dude, this is a time for action. Let's go and see what's happened in that room.
Something has happened in the Burma April room. But we won't find out what it is until later. Well, if Jude Hennick was able to look into the room and see the Chinese visitor in there with April and Burma, and if he didn't recognize the man, then General Chang is not the real Chang at all. In that case, he is one of the Dragon Lady's ugly little pals. Well, we'll see about that on tomorrow's transcribed adventure. So join us for the big thrill of the week.
Terry and the Pirates on Tuned to Yesterday, a WGN Chicago production from November 26th, 1941. We wrap now with the second-to-last episode of The McCormack Matter on yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This first broadcast on CBS on October 6th, 1955.
From Hollywood, it's time now for Bob Bailey as...
Johnny Dollar.
Frank Porter at Allied Casualty. How's it going, kid?
I don't know.
You ever find Joe Penny?
The harbor patrol found him floating around the harbor. He'd been shot and his feet were burnt.
What? Gee whiz, torture. Well, what can I do to help?
Find a girl who was once married to him.
Joe Penny had a wife?
Yeah, she wears a mink stole these days and carries a gun. She's tied up with it somewhere. Her name's Iris Carter.
Iris Carter? You've met her?
Just long enough to get slugged with her gun.
Well, wait a minute. I'd like to get it all straight. Can I come over?
I'll be here.
Tonight and every weekday night, Bob Bailey in the transcribed adventures of a man with the action-packed expense account. America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator...
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Expense account submitted by special investigator Johnny Dollar to the Allied Casualty and Insurance Company Limited, Markham Building, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the McCormack matter. Expense account, item 9, $14 even, secretarial services. I dictated a detailed report of the $100,000 McCormack case. I did it for two reasons. One, to make certain that Allied and the New York police were thoroughly informed of my part of the matter. And two, to review the case for my own benefit. One of the key figures, Joe Penny, was a murder victim. Attached is a copy of that report. I tried to cover as closely as possible my conversation with Mike Cairn at Sing Sing when he tipped me off that Joe Penny had something to do with the McCormack burglary of 5 years ago. Also, one conversation with Joe Penny, his subsequent disappearance and murder. I had a copy for Frank Porter when he showed up at my room. He read it from top to bottom.
Gee whiz, Johnny, if this isn't something. You come here for Joe Penny... Looks like he did the McCormack job. Now he's dead. You're stopped. What can you do?
Find his wife, maybe?
You're doing this at your own expense, aren't you?
Oh, I think your company will pay for it in time.
You have to recover the stuff.
I know.
You think you will?
I think so, yeah.
Well, your key man's dead. You have to start all over again.
Maybe not. I don't really know whether Joe Panning was my key man or not. I still can't see a small-time auto thief working a big, slick safe burglary.
Every indication is that he was the one.
I know. I'd like to find that girl, Iris Carter, and talk to her about it. She's connected with it.
No, from what you say on the paper, yeah, very much. Oh, gee whiz, I feel like a fifth wheel. I'm not helping you a bit. You know, I handled this case for the company when it first broke. I worked with Lieutenant Martin for 6 months on it, and we didn't turn up a thing. You're on it 3 or 4 days, and you have all kinds of action.
Well, I must have stepped in at the right time.
Yeah. Johnny,
mm-hmm.
Somebody gunned Joe Panty down. Now, I know you like to work alone and do things your own way, but be careful if you stay on this. I get worried when somebody starts shooting.
Oh, sure. I didn't get that, though.
Why?
If I keep on this, I wouldn't let it go now if my life depended on it. I'm going to find that woman, and I'm going to find the stuff.
Sure. Well, gee whiz. Don't let anything happen to you.
I won't. I talked some more with Frank Porter about the case. He repeated his offer in the name of Allied Casualty to help if he could. I told him I'd take it up on it if anything came up at all. He left. I was at Central Police Station 10 minutes later. And 5 minutes after that, Lieutenant Dules Martin was calling for the medical examiner's report on Joe Panny's death. A uniformed man brought it in. Martin shoved it across the desk at me.
The ME says Joe Panny's been dead about 48 hours or longer. 225 slugs right through the chest, penetrated both lungs, one through the neck. It's very neat shooting at that range.
What range?
Oh, at least 20 feet, maybe longer. Not many people shoot 25s that well. It's a little gun.
A woman's gun.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Now, let's talk about that woman you saw around there that night. Now, you say it was Panny's ex.
Yeah. Iris Carter. I don't know whether her gun was a 25 or 32.
Well, think about
it. I have.
Now, look, don't get sore with me. It's just that she looks like better than ever for opening this case up. I put her on in all points.
Sorry I got riled.
That's all right. Now, the ME thinks that Panny was killed before he was dumped in the water, possibly ambushed by someone he didn't know or didn't trust.
If he's right about the range, that'd fit in. Someone who knew him would do it close up.
Yeah.
Hey, wait. You said his feet were burnt.
Yeah, I got the pictures here to prove it. Yeah, take a look. And these are the glossies.
Uh-huh.
Now, these are the burns here, Bella. Right here. Here and here.
Yeah. Then he wasn't ambushed exactly.
Look, I don't know what he was, but this is the crazy part. He was already dead when this happened.
No rope marks on his legs or wrists. You don't sit still for burning, no matter how tough you are.
It's fascinating, huh? Someone shot him down, then tried to make it look like he was tortured for information first.
Cover up. He's supposed to look like he knew something or had something. And maybe he didn't know or have anything at all.
Well, how do you feel?
Lousy. If the burning was cover-up, then maybe the big search of his room was cover-up, too, to throw us off.
To throw you off. Not me. I wasn't in on it then.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's genuine.
What's that?
The corpse. An hour and a half later, a witness was delivered to the office of Lieutenant Martin. His name was Edmund Thompson. He sold papers in the dock area. Both Martin and I looked at him twice, and I could tell both of us were doubting the credulity of anything he might have to say.
Hi.
Hi. My name's Martin. This is Mr. Dollar.
Yes, sir. Glad to know you both.
Now, would you mind telling us everything you saw the other night?
Tuesday night? Yeah, it was Tuesday. Sure, why not? I saw this guy dumped in the water.
We understand that. Can you tell us the circumstances?
It's against the will of God.
Yes, it certainly is.
Against the laws of nature, too.
What did you see, Mr. Thompson?
I prayed for them both.
You tried, Dollar?
When did you pray?
Right after I saw it. Yes, sir.
On the street, huh?
No. I was on the vacant lot. I was cutting across towards the docks.
Oh.
Then I see this car pull up. Long, black car. A lot of chrome on it. This fella jumps out and goes around at the back. He opens the trunk, and he pulls this other fella out. Hoists him up, and he carries him over the dock. Then he just lets him go.
Then you prayed.
Then I prayed. I was a little too scared to do anything else.
This car the man had.
Long black one, a lot of chrome.
Sedan or coupe?
What's the difference?
Two seats or one seat?
One safe.
Happen to get the license number?
All right,
let that go. How about the man? Can you describe him?
He stood there, looked down at the water, and started himself a cigarette.
Well, what kind of a face did he have? Dark, light, a mustache, what?
A devil's face.
Oh, swell. Now, what does that mean?
A devil?
Mr. Thompson, do you understand that we want to apprehend this man, that he's responsible for one man's death, and that he might harm someone else?
I'll pray for him. Pray for him all.
Well, how was he dressed?
Didn't notice.
Hat?
Don't know.
Coat?
Don't know.
But he had a long black coupe. Do you know the make?
Nope.
Would you know him if you saw him again?
Nope.
Look, when you saw him dump a body into the water, why didn't you notify the police?
Why should I?
It's police business.
Let them take care of their business. I'll take care of mine. Any of you fellas got a cigarette on you?
I left Lieutenant Martin brooding over his witness and went out for a bite of dinner. When I called him later, he hadn't learned anything more, so I decided to call it a night and went back to my hotel. I found a note waiting for me from Jack Lang, the bandleader friend of Iris Carter. Said he'd got a tip. She'd worked at one time at the Elmar Theater in the Bronx. If I learned anything, please let him know. He was still in love with her. Elmar Theater. I decided my night was far from over.
Hey, you. Buy a ticket out front if you want to look at the girl.
I only want to see one. Her name's Iris Carter. Does she work here?
I just told you, go buy a ticket out front.
Just tell me this. Does Iris Carter work here? Is the name familiar to you? Have you ever seen her or heard of her?
You give me any more trouble, I'll clutch. I told you, go out front.
Can't you answer a simple question? I'm looking for Iris Carter. Iris Carter.
You don't have to yell at him, mister. He never heard of it.
What?
Call me a cop, Gloria.
Never
this
mind,
guy's
cop.
Giving
never
me...
Never mind, I'll take care of him. Come on, you. Iris Carter, is that what you said?
Yeah.
I got to change. I got to get back on in 5 minutes.
Then I'll talk to you later.
You haven't got much to say. Stick around. I'll change back to the screen.
Okay.
I'm Gloria Ward. Who are you?
Johnny Dollar.
What do you want with Iris Carter?
I want to see her and tell her something.
Tell me.
Well, for one thing, her ex-husband's dead.
What?
Oh, better watch that screen.
Oh. Say that again.
Joe Panny, her ex-husband's dead.
No kidding. That no good bum is really dead.
Yeah. Where can I find her?
She don't work here no more. Hasn't worked here in 4 or 5 years. She quit.
Well, where is she? You took over from the old man out there when you heard me mention her name. You've satisfied yourself that I'm really looking for her, so suppose you...
Don't flip with me, mister. I'm not satisfied about anything.
Where is she?
She got herself married to a nice guy.
Good for her. Is she in town?
You sure you just want to see her and tell her Joe's dead?
That's about it. I thought maybe she might be able to help me and the police find out who killed him.
He was killed?
2 days ago. They found his body today.
How do you know about that? Are you a cop?
I'm an insurance investigator.
And you have to see her?
You want it put in writing?
Don't get in a huff. What I'm getting at is this. Quick change, huh? Now listen, Iris is good. You know what I mean? And she's married to a nice guy now. Will any of this make her trouble?
Not if she hasn't done anything wrong.
Well, I can tell you she hasn't. If it does make trouble, it'd be a shame. She's set up nice, and I like to see a girl set well, don't you?
Certainly.
Well, I haven't seen her almost since she left here, but... Well, you look like a right kind of guy. I believe you.
Thanks, Gloria.
She lives out in Long Island now. Her name's McCormick. Iris McCormick.
By the time I said goodbye to Gloria and walked out the stage door and got out into the alley, I thought I had most of it figured. The ex-wife of an ex-con married a wealthy Long Islander named McCormick. When the honeymoon was over, the safe was robbed. Walking out that alley, I was wondering whether to phone the police or Allied Casualty first.
Been hit.
Oh, it isn't bad.
Did you see him?
I didn't see nobody.
The car. See the car. The one that just gunned out.
Oh, the car. We had a long black coupe, a lot of chrome. A fella didn't have his lights on. Hey, that's against the law.
Hey, you need help, mister.
No. No, I'm all right.
Now, here's our star, Bob Bailey, to tell you about tomorrow's episode.
Thanks. Tomorrow, the end of the trail of a .38 caliber slug. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, is transcribed in Hollywood. Written by John Dawson, the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. Be sure to join us tomorrow night, same time and station, for the next exciting episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. Roy Rowan speaking.
Yours truly, Johnny Dollar, on Tuned to Yesterday, the second-to-last broadcast for the story, The McCormack Matter, from October 6th, 1955, on CBS. And we'll be wrapping up the Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar story next week at this very same time. Be sure to join us then for more great shows from radio's yesteryear. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.